Hallelujah. So when it's a camp meeting, praise the Lord. Camp meeting is around the corner. Did you hear that? Camp meeting is just next week. Praise the Lord. And we are looking forward to great and mighty times by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, a brother, and I didn't even anticipate I was going to talk about this. A brother, a member of our church, sent me a question. And it was a very good question he asked me. He said, Pastor, not this Saints Community Church, another one. He said, Pastor, my pastor has been asking us to pray and believe and desire for more. And this week we're fasting. So he asked the question. He said, is the more of the gifts of the Spirit? So what could it be? So I said, no. The Bible is filled with things that God does. It is not what he has done. It's what he does. I said, so therefore, you can look into the Word of God and desire what you see in the Word of God. You know, people desire healing because it's in the Word of God. And they are sure, because it's in the Word of God, they see people got healed in the Scriptures. They see instructions in the Scriptures about healing. They see that blind Bartimaeus was healed. The woman with the issue of blood was healed. And several other people, the book of Acts, we have, different examples. So because they saw it, or they see it in the Word of God, they saw that the nation of Israel too had healing in Numbers 21. When they were bitten by serpents, they were healed. So they see it in the Scriptures. So they desire it because it's in the Scriptures. I said, well, you know, you cannot limit what you desire to just a subject. I remember somebody asked me this question. And it was when we had the Charismatic Ministry Volume 2, the book. And he said, but why are we not seeing the manifestation of the Holy Spirit that we see in the Old Testament today? That's what he asked me. So why are we not seeing it? So I said, what did we call the Old Testament? We said the Old Testament is gone. We said that it's the past tense of what God does. So what we say that? We say the Old Testament, that Jesus has fulfilled everything in there. So we don't need to see those things anymore. We said, wow. I said, so our theology of the Old Testament has oftentimes blocked us, or let me say, deprived us of receiving the same experiences. Because you see, faith plays a part in receiving. It plays a part in receiving. The second service, I'll be sharing something else, but I'll talk about it briefly. Faith plays a part in receiving. And that's why I'm taking my time, I've been doing it for 2 weeks now, to teach you, this is the second week, about when it is a camp meeting. It's a different kind of thing. You see, there are different kinds of meetings. All right? And you must know the purpose of each one. There's a teaching meeting. We said that before. Where we come around and we just come to study the Scriptures. And that's what the meeting is about. You come with your Bibles, you write, you ask questions when there's need. That's a teaching meeting. We have a prayer meeting where we come, and all of that is in God's Word, where we just come to pray. We just come, we have something we're praying about, and then we pray. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, through to verse 31, the church lifted up their voice and prayed. That's a prayer meeting. In Acts 12, verse 5, the church made supplication on behalf of Peter. That's a prayer meeting. So we have a prayer meeting, we have a teaching meeting. We have the outreach meeting, where we take the gospel to other people. That's the song that Faith gave us this morning. The song about going to the nations. I would have loved to say going to the streets. Amen. Going to the streets. Because the streets are the nations. Amen. Going to the nations also require a passport. Praise the Lord. Just go outside your house. You see the nations in there. So, you know, we have such outreach. We go into all the world. Mark 16:15. and preach the gospel to every creature. That's a meeting in its own. Which is, so where two or three are gathered together in my name, Matthew 18:20, there I am in the midst of them. So if I go to preach the gospel, that gathering is in his name. So he's right there. So the third kind of meeting is an outreach meeting. You can call it an evangelistic meeting. Then we also have a kind of meeting that could be for a select people. Jesus has such select people who were his disciples, all right, and call them his workers, select people. We call it the workers' meeting. Paul in Acts 20 and verse 17, when he was passing through Ephesus, he called for the elders. That is select gathering. Again in Luke 24, from verse 36 through 37, Jesus appeared to his select people. All right? And many instances, you notice that he, after he has preached to the multitude, then he will come to his own disciples, then speak to them privately. So we have such select meetings. We can call it workers' meetings. We can call it ministers' meetings. Then we also have what we can call a Holy Ghost meeting. Or better still, a healing meeting. Let me take that one again. A healing meeting is where we just come to receive healing. A healing meeting, sometimes we teach the word of God, and we teach the word of God for people to receive healing. Sometimes we just lay hands on people, and then they receive healing. Right? So we have that kind of meeting. Just the power of the Lord is present to heal. Luke 5:17, and there's healing happens. In Mark 5, Jesus is going to the house of Jairus, the woman with the issue of blood, from verse 25 to 34. She touches his clothes. She sees that's a healing meeting. Okay? And we have different instances. Again, Luke chapter 6, I think verse 12, where people came to Jesus just to hear him and be healed. Just to hear him and be healed. So we have such healing meetings. Acts 19:11 said, by the hands of Paul, mighty miracles, special miracles were wrought by the hands of Paul. You know, God worked special miracles by his hands. So, and why, what happened? He says that many who were sick were healed. Those who had palsies were taken. Those who were possessed of demons had the demons cast out of their bodies. And curses and aprons were taken from his body. That is a healing meeting. Now we also have another kind of meeting that might be lost on believers because of the nature of that meeting. Now, every meeting I mentioned can be determined by us. We can be deliberate about it. We can say, tomorrow we have a prayer meeting. Is that very clear? And then we'll come to pray. We can say, tomorrow is a teaching service. And we come there to teach. To teach. We can say, sometimes when people invite me to speak for them, I don't ask this anymore anyway. But earlier on, maybe in the 90s, I'll ask them a question. Because, you know, I was raised reading Brother Hagin. And Brother Hagin wrote a book, Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits, where he said, Jesus spoke to him, and it's in the Word of God, that we shall find the purpose. What is the purpose of the meeting? So I asked them. He said, I want you to come and speak for us in the convention. So I said, what is the purpose of the meeting? He said, convention. I said, I know it's a convention. What is the purpose of the meeting? Convention, sir. Okay, special program. I know. What kind of meeting? Sir, it's a convention. It's just a convention. We just want God to do something new in our lives. They don't even know what they're organizing. So sometimes, a lot of people may not know this one. I said we can deliberate about prayer meetings, teaching meetings, healing meetings. We can also be deliberate about outreach meetings. For example, this week, today, you are going out to preach the gospel. Anyone like that? This week, anyone, come on, anyone like that, come on, hey, just a few, alright, good, so we're going to preach the gospel, so we're deliberate. I'm sure after the second service, the PCA coordinators will have meetings with the workers, that's deliberate, so we can have healing meetings, deliberate, prayer meetings, deliberate, teaching meetings, deliberate, healing services, deliberate, workers, special meetings, deliberate, but it's a kind of meeting again, that can also be deliberate. It's called a Holy Ghost meeting. Holy Ghost believers meetings. Now a Holy Ghost meeting, stroke a believers meeting, is a meeting where we plan to have a meeting where we turn it over to the Holy Ghost. Now this morning, I have an idea what I wanted to say, but not totally an idea what I was to say. I just came trusting the Spirit of God to inspire me to say exactly what I just say. So that is a kind of Holy Ghost meeting. We plan to have things happen that we have not planned. A Holy Ghost meeting is where we plan to have a meeting with one another where we can have things happen to us that we did not plan. We'll turn it over to the Holy Ghost. We'll turn the meeting over to the Holy Ghost where we allow the gifts of the Spirit to be in primary operation. I'll take that again. A Holy Ghost and believers meeting is where we plan a meeting to see things that we have not planned. Of us, good things that we have not planned. By that, we turn the meeting over to the Holy Ghost. And when we turn it over to the Holy Ghost, He'll do things we know, but we didn't plan, and some things we might not even know. Now, look at the instance of the day of Pentecost. Just before the day of Pentecost, Jesus told them in Luke 24:49, He said, "Tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. I send the promise of my Father upon you." Acts 1:8, "You shall receive power after which the Holy Ghost is come upon you. You shall witness unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Now listen to this one. So they came together in a place, deliberate. They came together in one accord, deliberate. I'll talk about that in the second service, how we must contribute to what God is doing. Then, Acts 2:1. Go there quickly, Acts 2:1. They picked a day, okay, Tuesday. They came together in a place, Acts 2:1. Now, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. I told you last week about getting to church early, right? Very well. You must have that attitude. Getting on time. Getting on time. Now, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place, in one accord. Then verse 2, suddenly, did you hear that? There came a sound. Now, that was not planned. They planned to receive from God, but they did not plan the sound. There came a sound from heaven. Of course, you know what heaven is, right? The supernatural world. From heaven. Like as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house. Was that planned? No. Now, did they plan to receive from God? Did they plan where they met? And the time? But they turned the meeting over to the Holy Ghost. Then suddenly there came a sound from heaven like of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were seated. Look at 3. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Did they plan that? No. Verse 4. And they began to speak with other tongues. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them. Look at, the Spirit gave them utterance. The Spirit gave them utterance. Now, were they expecting the Spirit to give them utterance? Yes. Did they plan what the utterance will be? No. So in the Holy Ghost meeting, we do have our part to play. We'll pick a place. We'll pick a time. All right? And I said this on Wednesday. They also were praying. Acts 1:14. They were praying. They prayed towards it. This morning we prayed. This week we prayed. Throughout this week, pardon me, we're going to pray every day. They prayed. Pray into the camp meeting. Pray into. They prayed onto that day. They prayed towards the day of Pentecost. They prayed towards that purpose. But, together with that, they turned the meeting over to the Holy Ghost. They turn it over to the Holy Ghost. When you turn the meeting over to the Holy Ghost, it means, therefore, there will be demonstrations that you cannot produce. There will be things that you did not exactly plan for in such a meeting. Are you in church? Are you in church? So listen carefully. If you're not careful, you will be fixated upon a kind of meeting. Just a kind of meeting. And a brother once told me, he said, I'm not just the excited type. That's what he said. I prefer just teaching meetings. I said, it's not about what you prefer. It's what is in the Word of God. I said, but your life needs Holy Ghost meetings. Now, by my experience, I know that in Holy Ghost meetings, such meetings, where you turn it over to the Holy Ghost, it's like things that normally should take you years happen in a short while. In a short while. That should take you years. It just happened in a short while. You know, I remember a couple, someone told this story about this couple. They were planning to leave the country. And they were deciding to leave the country. They were both professionals, so they had planned. They were even trying to get a visa to leave. They had planned it. So they attended this Holy Ghost meeting. Or this meeting, let me put it that way. And the pastor, just by the Holy Ghost, he just was teaching normally. Then he just turned to them and ministered to them by the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. And he said, don't leave the country. And he gave them very specific things about God's plan. Today, their ministry reaches the whole country and even outside the country. Now, it's possible you've traveled, then it'll take you 10 years to find out what God wanted you to do. But in a brief meeting, what will have taken you 10 years to find out in prayer and fasting will just happen swiftly. Are you here? It will just happen swiftly. Now, let me give you another instance. I didn't know I was going to teach the scriptures. I didn't have the idea. I thought that I was, of course, my thinking then was the evangelist. So I grew up that way, you know, to go to people, just preach. So when it came to Bible doctrine, I will always say, my friends do it better. So I just sit down. The first time I handled Dick's Bible, that had Greek and Hebrew, I just threw it down. What was this? Can't the Bible be more simple? How many things do I have to know for a single verse? I didn't have. Someone gave me an E.W. Kenyon book. I looked at it. I read it. I said, it's not exciting. I dropped it. Now, did I love the Lord? Oh yeah. I love the Lord. I will go for evangelism that day. I will attend a prayer meeting that day. I will fast and pray. But something wasn't just clicking. So I went for this meeting where they were teaching about the ministry gifts. And in my head, it was apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor. My favorite was evangelist. So when the man of God began, it was every Tuesday, the evangelist. I said, this is my favorite part. The evangelist, soul winning, going to all the world and preach the gospel. So it was my best part of the series. So I knew the next week was about the teacher. So I told myself, I'm going for that meeting to just learn about the teaching ministry. It's not for me. I'm just going to learn about the teaching ministry so that I can tell my friends who are teachers, who teach. So I went for the meeting. And then the man of God turned the meeting over to the Holy Ghost. And then he just pointed to me. He said, young man, and he called me out. I was wearing a silk shirt. I can never forget. A silk black shirt and a pair of black trousers. And he called me out. Then he laid hands on me. And then he said, what is known in the Word of God as a teaching ministry will begin to function in your life. Listen carefully. From that moment, an hunger to study God's word very differently just came. I didn't plan it. Remember, I had said to myself, this teaching is not for me. If I went out taking the notes, I took the notes for just to know. But from that moment, it's like there's the ease. This is about 30 years ago. The ease, immediately, it was supernaturally. The desire came, the thirst came, at once. Then suddenly, the same materials that I will naturally not even read, I just started having this hunger. Hunger. It was just supernatural. I didn't plan it. I didn't even think I was praying for it. But in the Holy Ghost meeting. Now imagine if I didn't attend that meeting. I'll probably have been praying, oh God, what do you have me do? What would you have me do in the body of Christ? And some of us think we can get in our private lives what God wants to do in the meeting. No. God made sure, God made it that way, sorry, that it was that meeting that I had to be. And the hunger came. The thirst came. And the same me that never wanted to teach, a few months after, it was so funny. I went to a place, not a few weeks after, I went to a place to get a material. And then the guy said, it was just supernatural, he just said, would you love to teach? I went there to get a material. I said, would you love to teach in our Bible school? I said, oh, yeah. Because the week before, someone just told me, I want to preach in the church. And then they said, can you come and teach us Bible interpretation? I had never heard that there is a way to interpret the Bible before. I knew Bible study, Bible reading, memory verse. Which one is Bible interpretation? And then I said, oh yeah. So I said, give me a few months. So I went. That was the next year, actually. So I went to get the book. So where I went to get the book, the guy just told me the same thing. Will you come and teach? I went to get the book there. And they said, will you come and teach? So he was like, oh, something's been arranged here for me to teach this. Now, a few months before, it was not on my mind. But what happened? By the deposits of the Holy Ghost, supernaturally, it came. And I went to teach them. I remember just about that same year, we went across West Africa to teach. I had a ministry, I belonged to the African Evangelization Mission. And then we went to this Bible school. And I was teaching the Bible school, had never been to one. And then someone just asked me, the provost, sorry. He said, which Bible school did you attend? No, not the provost. Which Bible school did you attend? Can you imagine? They thought I did. Now, did I work hard? I did. Did I study? I did. Did I get materials to study? I did. But there was something supernatural about it. And it came in a meeting. There's something supernatural. You should get used to the supernatural. It wasn't planned. Okay, I planned to be in the service, but I did not plan the things that happened in the service. So in a Holy Ghost meeting, we plan to receive the unplanned. Who's following what I'm saying this morning? Let me see your hand, come on. Are you here? We plan to receive the unplanned. So we simply turn the meeting over to the Holy Ghost. We turn the meeting over. Now, the ones I mentioned now happened in a meeting that maybe someone was preaching, then something happened. Meetings turned over to the Holy Ghost. Turned over to the Holy Ghost. By turning over to the Holy Ghost, it means that there will be things that will be revealed. And there will also be things that will be imparted. For example, when hands were laid on me that month, that evening, it was a Tuesday night, at the International Conference Center, I fell down, whoop. And I knew that there was just something heavy. I couldn't explain it. Something heavy. And I remember I had to walk to my friend's house at Joyce B, Adebiyi Street, just opposite Mobile. And I practically could not say anything. I had nothing to say. I couldn't say anything. Now, what's God doing? He's preparing me for years ahead. I couldn't say anything. I didn't greet anybody. I was too struck. And I'm walking. And I go to my friend's house. It was supposed to be admitted. He wasn't there. And he wasn't there at the house as well. So I walked back again. And I felt the heaviness for that long. So I went to Youth Foundation Center at Akpata, where Uncle Adele lived. So I went there, feeling heavy. Something had happened. I didn't know what it was. It will take you years down the line to know what happened. So a Holy Ghost meeting closes a distance for you. The Holy Ghost meeting closes a distance for you at camp meeting. We're going to have such impartations of the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost closes the gap. It closes the gap for you. Now, pay attention here now. So Acts of the Apostles chapter 2 verse 1 to 4, we said, they plan for the unplanned. Now, see something else that happened just like that. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 10, a man by the name of Cornelius verse 1 to 4, he is praying. And then an angel appears to him and says, look, we have all the memorial of your almsgiving, your righteous living, and your prayer has come up before God. Send for one Simon. He will come to tell you the words whereby you might be saved. So the man now sends a garrison of soldiers, a company of soldiers. He sent them to the house of Peter. But just about that same time, Peter had a vision. And in that vision, he saw what was about to happen. Now, there are many times too. God will show you what will happen in the meeting. He will show you that this is about to happen in this meeting. This is what you are going to do. This is how you are going to do it in this meeting. I was preaching for someone some 7 years ago. And then just that morning, no, the 2 days before, I was just praying. And the Lord showed me the meeting. I never said this before publicly. He showed me a meeting. He said, it's going to happen on Tuesday, Wednesday night. Is it Tuesday or Wednesday? I've forgotten. I think Tuesday. Then I said to myself, how is it going to happen on Tuesday? I'm not the one speaking on Tuesday. Somebody else is going to speak on Tuesday. It's going to happen on Wednesday night. And then I said, no, I can't be. I'm not the one preaching on Wednesday. I'm done preaching. I preached on Sunday. I preached the 2 services. I'm not preaching anymore. And Lord showed me. He said nothing. Unknown to me, the guest minister for that Wednesday was not going to wait for the Wednesday service. I didn't know. So as soon as I saw that, and then the environment, I said, oh, can you speak on Wednesday? He's not going to be around. I smiled. I said, yeah. So, and I went to the guest, the host. I said, would you add extra 15 minutes? He said, yeah. I said, okay. Why did I ask for that? Because I had seen something earlier. So by the time I got to the meeting, they had never had that kind of move of the Holy Spirit before. In fact, the whole street, everywhere, was filled with God's glory. Did I see it earlier? Yeah. I didn't plan it. Was it even in my session? So there are times like that God will show a minister what he's about to do. And it's also a Holy Ghost meeting. His job is to turn it over to the Holy Ghost. So Peter saw it. When Peter saw it, he even tried to ask, why am I supposed to eat what's unclean? The angel said, whatever God has cleansed, don't call common. So as he got up, he's wondering about what's going on, and the Holy Ghost said, 3 men seek you. He went to meet them, and they told him all the Cornelius asked for. So he goes to the house of Cornelius. Pay attention here. And he's preaching. But the first thing, as he got to the house of Cornelius, the whole house, everyone fell down. He said, we are welcome, sir. I've taught you before. Honor is a key to the move of God's Spirit. Whatever you don't respect, you don't attract. Whatever you speak down, you can't get. So you gotta watch your words, okay? You gotta watch your words. I remember years back, I was in a friend of mine, well, both is a friend. He told me about, I heard about this guy who was a very excellent preacher of the word of God. So I said, wow. So he said, do you want us to meet? I said, okay, yeah, let's meet, you know. And so we went to his house. So we went to his house and then less than 2 minutes, he began to speak down on men of God. He spoke down on so many people at the same time. There was virtually no one that was good in his books. What? And he went there, and he didn't stop there. He called them names. So when we're walking out of his house, my friend who took me there said, what do you think about that guy? I said, that one? He's not going to end up in the ministry. He said, ah, what do you mean? I saw what he said. It's not a prediction. It's a fact. And it happened exactly like that. Because what you are down on, you're up on. Whatever you speak against can't come to you. No, it won't. So here I am. If you don't understand something, keep your mouth shut. You don't understand it. So here am I. You know, I was talking about something now. Okay, Acts of the Apostles. So Peter is going. He went to the house. Okay, yeah, I was going to say this. So they all fell down. I mean, imagine this guy's like a military general. So imagine having all the soldiers, his household, everybody's going, you're welcome, sir. You're welcome, sir. Somebody would have done naturally to the governor. They gave it to the man of God. Peter. Peter, who was a fisherman. What did they see? The grace of God. See, my eyes are open to see the grace of God. Hallelujah. So Peter began to speak. Peter himself was shocked because he said, now I know that God is not a respecter of persons. Can you imagine? So, which means that his mind was still troubling him. That whosoever in every nation walketh righteousness accepted with him. He still, Acts 10, 34, 35, he still, you know, said the word that was sent, you know, preaching peace. Ah, God had not done that. He was trying to explain, you know. He was doing an exegetical teaching. As Peter yet spoke. Verse 44. The Holy Ghost fell. Now, why did the Holy Ghost fall? Cornelius and his household were too hungry for that procedure. They were too hungry. Don't forget he was praying in Acts 10. The Holy Ghost fell. Peter's team, who came with Peter, they were surprised. They were astonished. Imagine going for a meeting, then being astonished at what happened. That means they did not plan it that way. But what happened? They turned it over to the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost fell. And the Bible says they heard them speak with tongues magnifying God. That's what went. So when they called Peter out in Acts 11, and he said, what did you go to do in the house of Gentiles? He said, who am I to withstand God? While I was speaking. Now, you know, he never laid hands. Assuming he laid hands, they'll say, why did he lay hands? He said, well, he was speaking. He's just talking. And the Holy Ghost fell. My brother was telling me this story how he was to preach somewhere and then the pastor didn't like all this laying on of hands and all that. So people got filled with the Holy Ghost in the service. The pastor wasn't there and the pastor heard about it. The pastor was upset. He said, I'm not going to have you preach for me again. He said, no, go watch the video. He said, no. They told me that you were just... So the pastor watched the video. He saw... He told me the story. He said, as soon as he was just speaking, the people began to speak in other tongues and prophesy. Then the pastor said, that must be God. Hallelujah. So sometimes God will do something, all right, different because of the audience. So while Peter yet spake, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them that heard the word. What is a Holy Ghost meeting? It's when we turn it over. We plan to turn it over to the Holy Spirit. We plan to turn the meeting over to the Holy Ghost. To the Holy Ghost. What can lead to a Holy Ghost meeting? Hear this. A prayer meeting can lead to a Holy Ghost meeting. Because in praying, we are also yielding to the Holy Ghost. A prayer meeting can lead to a Holy Ghost meeting. In fact, amongst my friends then, If you want to have a Holy Ghost meeting, back then in Ibadan, who would first of all pray? We'll first of all pray. Remember times like that, we'll just have daily Holy Ghost meetings. Sometimes at 11 p.m. And then we'll just, you know, minister to the Lord. And we're reading for days and days until an opportunity came. And we saw all the results of the Holy Ghost meetings. Hallelujah. And I've sensed something. As I spoke now, that there are people under the sound of my voice this morning, right here now, that God is going to give you responsibilities. Not too far from now. Responsibilities that you didn't even envisage was going to come very quickly. And at such meetings like camp meeting, you will have like God stirring you and giving you enough deposits of His Spirit to fulfill that task. And they're not even things that you planned. No, they're things you probably thought were in the future. You thought this was going to happen to me in 5 years. But the space is filled up. The times is filled up. And the Holy Ghost meetings will give you just about enough of the deposits for now that you require for such tasks. And I'm saying it to those of you here, not any other congregation, just you here. There are responsibilities that are just ahead. You didn't know it was so soon, but you won't be surprised, since there will be deposits of God's Spirit that will definitely prepare you for such tasks. And then what do? You got to make yourself ready and make yourself available for the moving of God's Spirit. That will happen at the camp meeting, before the camp meeting, and precisely at the camp meeting. You should set yourself in the right place. You know, there's something about being at the right place. Jesus said, you shall receive power, which means that there's a whole lot you will have to do to receive. As Peter yet spake, let me get back to that. The Holy Ghost fell. So we said, a prayer meeting can lead to a Holy Ghost meeting. A teaching service can lead to a Holy Ghost meeting. Yep. Teaching service can lead to a Holy Ghost meeting. A minister's meeting can lead to a Holy Ghost meeting. A healing service can lead to a Holy Ghost, of course, definitely. An outreach meeting can lead to a Holy Ghost meeting. So every meeting can be turned over to the Holy Ghost. That is why at camp meeting, we have all those meetings together. We have teaching sessions, prayer sessions. We have times to sing. We have times to minister to the sick. But in all those sessions, who endeavor to turn it over to the Holy Ghost, such that He will do things that are unique in every session, will turn it over to the Holy Ghost. And therefore, do this. I know you've heard me preach this before, over and over again. Do this. You know how you want to do something and you're on the edge. You are actually on the edge expecting something to happen. Stay in that position of being on the edge, expecting something. Expecting something. Who's expecting something here? Anyone like that? I'm expecting something. Expecting the moving of God's Spirit. I'm expecting the moving of God's Spirit. I'm expecting the moving of God's Spirit. Hallelujah. When I go for a meeting, I'm expecting something. Always expecting something. I'm always expecting something. Hallelujah. When I went for a meeting in 1994, and Ross Tatro was preaching, and he said to me, he said, did you hear what I'm saying? I said, I came with a walkman. I usually go with a walkman to record the prophecies, because I was expecting something. I was expecting something. Hallelujah. Expecting something. So Holy Ghost meeting, we turn it over to the Holy Ghost. So who can have a Holy Ghost meeting? When can we have a Holy Ghost? Just about any time. Just about now. Who can have a Holy Ghost meeting? Where two or three? Where can it take place? Anywhere. Cornelius' house is not the temple. Are you here? Just about anything. The house of Simon Tanner where Ananias laid hands on Saul wasn't a church meeting, a church program, or a church venue. No. Just turn things over to the Holy Ghost. Two or three. In my name. Matthew 18:20. There I am in the midst of them. Two or three. There is no number. No number. Praise the Lord. So get used to the Holy Ghost. Did you hear? Get used to the Holy Ghost. Some are not used to the Holy Ghost for many reasons. I was going to talk about it in a second, but let me say it here. Sometimes it's what they've heard. It's what they've heard. Some people make things very difficult. Very difficult. There was a brother like that, Brother Solomon. I've known him since 92 or so. So we, he now came for one, and we worked together a bit of secondary school outreaches then. But then one day, he came to one of our meetings. So I noticed he wasn't speaking in tongues, and you could easily know because it was just a classroom, so you know who's not speaking in tongues. You can't hide there. So I said, "So look, why don't you speak in tongues?" He said, he's been born again since 86. This was the 10th year. He said, he's waiting for the baptism. I said, what, waiting for? I said, I'm tarrying. You are tarrying in Ikorodu. Those who tarry, tarry in Jerusalem. If you want to tarry, you travel to Jerusalem. Number two, they did not tarry for 10 years. Why is your own tarrying carrying? What are you going to do with your tarrying? So I laid hands on him. He's heard the wrong thing. He said the wrong thing. And why? Some people make things very difficult. I was sharing 2 days ago where I was speaking at a conference from throughout the week, I mean, till yesterday morning, outside Lagos. So I told them, I said, you know, I got my passport years ago. Now, today passports are getting, I mean, people say they're getting them faster. But I said, about 20 years ago, I went to get my passport. I just called an uncle of mine who worked at the passport office. I said, sir, I need to get my passport in order to travel. He said, He said, come to my office, sir. No problem. So I was thinking, I'll get to the office, do all the normal things, and come back the next week. So he just said, sit down there. You're getting it very soon. Huh? Was that here? What did you just say? So I sat there, and he served us tea to collect my passport. After 1 hour, they apologized. Just extra 30 minutes. I'm still shocked. And then they said, no, that they made a small error in the name, they're going to correct it. So in less than 2 hours, I walked out of the office with my passport. And I walked out seeing other people queue, who I'm sure that was their second visit, or third, which means people just made it difficult. It just made it difficult because, I mean, if I could use what we call in Nigeria, long leg. But the long leg is not really any leg. It just means that it could have been done. Now, bring that to the move of God's Spirit. Some people just make it difficult. And because human beings are God's method, they just make it difficult. I forgot to move here now. We need to do this work. We should fast. We should pray. But we are fasting and praying not to make God do it or to qualify. Is to be in the position to receive. And sometimes we make things difficult. And sometimes people make it so difficult. But I just walked in and picked up the passport. In 2 hours. I left. 20 years ago. So which means there are things like that people just make difficult. Remember when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I went for one retreat. And then it was a denomination like that. And the man was talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. By the time he was done describing who is qualified, I was disqualified. But I was already filled with the Holy Ghost. So I'm thinking, by the time he was done, he said, if you come out, he said, if you come out, he said, the power of the Holy Ghost is dangerous. If your life is not clean and it comes on you, it will destroy you. I'm sure some people were going and they just stopped. Can you go like, what? In a conference with, I can't remember, maybe several hundreds or thousands. Do you know that just two people, two, came out. I'm sure they just dared it. Whatever will happen, let it happen. You know, and here I was, already filled with the Holy Ghost. I had to cover my mouth. You know, because it just made it so difficult. Hallelujah. God gave you the Holy Ghost so you can flow with the Holy Ghost. God didn't give you the Holy Ghost so you can watch others flow with the Holy Ghost. God gave you the Holy Ghost so that you can flow with the Holy Ghost. Say, I 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 can flow with the Holy Ghost. What does it mean to flow with the Holy Ghost? It means to cooperate with the Holy Ghost. That is, whatever I see God is doing, I get in on it. Whatever I can see that God is doing, I get in on it. I get in on it. Whatever I can see that God is doing, I get in on it. If God is doing something in this place now, I get in on it. Let me get back to what I was saying earlier. Who can have the Holy Ghost meeting? Of course, we can have a Holy Ghost meeting. But two or three. That's why over the years, we've made it a practice to have us in groups. Two or three. In groups. So you can know that the moving of the Spirit has nothing to do with the numbers of people. Two or three. I learned flowing with the Holy Ghost in rooms. I'm saying rooms were just three, four, five, sometimes seven, eight, nine, ten, but never a large number of people. No. I learned it. And the good thing about those kind of times is that whatever errors you made, I also minimized. Hallelujah. And they give you the microphone and then say, sir. And then you say something, everybody's going to hear it. You understand? But if it's in the room, gradually you're growing. Gradually you're growing and growing and growing. The first time I gave a word of knowledge, I didn't know a word of knowledge. My friend said, that's a word of knowledge. I said, eh? Me? Oh Lord, I thank you. He said, the next one was a word of wisdom. And I didn't know. I said, what's word of knowledge? He now explained to me. That was many years ago. So you see, there is a way to flow with the Holy Spirit. But you need to first of all take away all the baggages in your head. Am I fit? Am I not fit? Can God's glory rest on me? Can God's glory? Hey, Jesus, God, who became flesh, the Bible says he dwelt amongst us, which means that Jesus had neighbors who were sinners. He had people living in the same home. His own siblings, right? They were rebellious. They opposed him. They didn't believe him. But they grew up together. And none of them fell down dead for that purpose. He grew up around people. He was in the womb of a woman who sinned. Mary. I know Catholics don't like this one. He was in the womb of a woman who sinned. And her womb did not rupture. No. Can you imagine? Jesus had all of that. He had the glory of God demonstrated among sinners that you born again. Hallelujah. Sealed with the Holy Ghost. You're wondering whether God could walk through you. Come on, take that off your mind. God's Spirit is walking in your life now. Did you hear me? Praise the Lord. In your life now. So when it's a camp meeting, we have the Holy Ghost in manifestation. We have the Holy Ghost in demonstration. We have the Holy Ghost in demonstrations. How do we flow with the Holy Ghost? We flow with the Holy Ghost by speaking in other tongues. Speaking in other tongues. Can we speak in other tongues now? Come on. Come on. Hold on. You saw you just spoke in other tongues. Now, you can plan to speak with other tongues. But you might not, you can plan for the unplanned things that will happen when you speak in tongues. They are unplanned things. But you can start with the one you plan. Let's speak in other tongues again. Come on, let's go. Come on. Come on. Now, you've planned that one now. You spoke in tongues. Now, what else can you plan? You can plan to interpret it. To interpret it will mean to say what it is in English, what's just said in other tongues. But you are not going to plan what is that interpretation. You are going to simply yield to the Holy Ghost to say in your known language what you just said in the unknown language. Or let's say what you said in tongues, better still. So listen, what do you plan? You plan to speak in tongues. What do you plan? You plan to interpret it. What is unplanned? The interpretation. Let me see what I'm talking about. Come on, let me see. What is planned? You speak in tongues. Let's speak in tongues. Come on. Come on, make it louder. You speak in tongues. Come on, go on, go on, go on. Pause a bit there. We plan to speak in tongues, we spoke in tongues. Now we can also plan to interpret, which means I will yield to the Holy Ghost to say in English, that's your known language, what I just said in tongues. I used to struggle with interpretation of tongues initially because I would be thinking in my head. Then I had the Alata Sweswe moment. You know what that is? I'll show you now. You speaking of, that's interpretation. But I had that moment too. I won't tell you more. My friend said, which one is, say what one. So I go, you know, and that's cause I was wondering whether I was going to say rubbish. Right? No, you're not going to say rubbish. Hallelujah. You're going to say rubbish. You're going to say the word of God. You're going to say the will of God. You're going to say the mind of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're going to say the will of God. You're going to say the mind of God. Glory to God. That's what you are going to say. All right. So you plan to interpret, but you don't plan the interpretation. And from that interpretation, you know, when you yield to the Holy Ghost, leave it that way. Don't manage it. You know, from that interpretation, you can sing. Singing is one of those ways we flow. Singing. And I was talking about one of our pastors, and she was in the meeting, and I was talking about flowing with the Holy Ghost, and I said, I remember when I cried. And I said, I remember that, we're talking about flowing with the Holy Ghost. I remember when I called her, 2004, I think, and I said, tell us something, the Holy Ghost on you, say something, sing a song. I mean, I choose the way of the Lord, for the way of the Lord is, that's a song we all know now. You get it? Of course, the person now flows with the Holy Ghost, teaches people across the whole place, you know. But everyone can make such mistakes initially. But don't stop. Is that very clear? So you can sing. Sing. Can someone sing here? Just sing a song. Not, no. Don't sing, every time we are gathered. No. We know that one. Can you just sing? Just sing. You know it's easy to sing. Just sing a song. Sing. I'm not giving you the microphone, so don't be afraid. Just sing. Sing. Keep singing. Don't stop. Keep singing. You know, sorry about, listen. Pause a bit. You know, if you know, you can sing and stop. Don't give yourself any limits. Keep singing. It will stretch. Then you get better. So continue. Sing. Sing. Don't sing a song you have known. A new song totally. Just sing. Is that song worshiping God? Is it worshiping God? Then raise your hands if it's worshiping God. If that song is for God, raise your hands. If the song you are singing is for the Lord, raise your hands. Raise your hands in worship. Raise your hands in worship. Raise your hands in worship. Keep singing. Keep singing. Keep singing. Keep singing. Keep singing. Stop a bit. Amen. Now, I didn't say sing in tongues. We're still going to sing in tongues. I said just sing. Just sing in English. You can sing in Yoruba too. Or Igbo, Hausa, those things. God is not an English God. Okay? But for us to understand, you may have to say it in English. Okay? So, just sing. Okay? So, just sing. Not in tongues, just sing. Worship God with that song. Don't stop. Sing. Exalt His name. Sing about His plan, His purpose. Sing about what He's doing in the earth. Sing about His plan for your life. Sing about His healing power. Sing about His glory. Sing about His love and grace. Sing about Him straightening things out. Sing. Hallelujah. Do you notice we have done two things now? We spoke in tongues and we also sang. Right? Right? Come on. We spoke in tongues and we also sang. Right? Now, sing in tongues. Sing in tongues. Singing in tongues just means put melody to your speaking in tongues. Now, hold on. Pay attention to something. What did you use the most now? Your lips, sorry. That's what you use your mouth the most. But in normal human existence, I mean, behavioral patterns, you know, you don't say, this morning I'll just use my mouth. You actually, what makes you being able to communicate properly is to use everything. That means as you are talking, you can see. It makes you communicate better. Right? And you can also listen. Right? Come on. As you are talking, you are listening. You don't say, I'm talking, I can't listen. No, you may need to listen to know what to say. Say, let me do one thing at a time. You know you can't do that. Everything will work together. So which means that as we're speaking, we can also be seeing something. And be hearing something. Come on. Because just like where you are here now, you are hearing me, you can see, you can hear, you can talk. So in the spirit, you can see, hear, and talk at the same time. Is it making sense? So let's go back to it again. Let's pray in tongues. Does that stop us from hearing? No. From seeing, no. Now, hold on. Let's put our hands together as a church. Say, all my faculties, spiritually, are working now. Say, all my faculties, spiritually, they work together. Now. Act on it. Working together. As I'm seeing, I'm speaking, I'm hearing. Seeing, speaking, hearing. Seeing, speaking, hearing. Don't stop. Don't let anything stop you. Don't let condemnation get into your head. Don't let guilt enter your mind. No, stop it. You are capable because you have the Holy Ghost. Don't let anything stand in your way. Now, pause one second. Just pause. Now, when I say stop, You are very intelligent. It doesn't mean you should stop speaking. Just reduce and listen, right? Because everything is working. Now, do you know that because you are seeing, hearing, and talking, doesn't mean you will not feel, right? Everything is working together, which means that if there is a physical demonstration of God's power, you also what? Experience. So everything is what? Your seeing, your hearing, your speaking, your sensing. Say, I can sense. The glory cloud.
The glory cloud.
In this house.
See,
I release my faith.
To experience.
The glory cloud.
In this house.
So let's do everything together. Everything together. Seeing, speaking, sensing. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's all over you. Yeah, it's all over you. Everything is working, everything. Don't look at anybody. Everything is working, everything is working, everything is working. You're seeing, you're hearing, you're sensing. It's all working, it's all working. You are alert, you are alert, you are alert. Yes, you are. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everything is working. All your faculties are working. All your faculties are working, they are working. All your faculties are working. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's all over you, it's all over you by the power of the Holy Spirit, it's all over you, yep. All your faculties are working. They are working, they are working, they are working, they are working. Yeah, 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 yeah. Fire on your lips. Fire on your eyes. Fire on your fingers. Fire on your head. You are immersed into new experiences. Yeah, 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 yeah. Glory, 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 glory. All your faculties are working. They are working, they are working, they are working. You are not disabled. You are not disabled. Everything is working. You can see, you can sense, you can hear, you can speak. Everything is working. Now sing, 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 sing as it, yeah, sing, sing, just sing, 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 sing into the move of God around you. Sing into the move of God around you. Now listen to this. There is like a stirring of something that had gone down. Yeah. 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 It went down for a while, but there's a stirring. There's a stirring. There's a stirring. There's a stirring. Yeah. There's a stirring. So go ahead and just talk. Speak in tongues. Yeah. There's a stirring. It went down, but it's up again. And the capacities are renewed. Hallelujah. Don't stop. Don't forget. You talk down and just know. Amen. How many of you are seeing your faculties working? Let me see your hand. Come on. Now, you know, so far, you've only gotten aware of what is around you. Now, it's time to channel it to do something. You have praised God with it, right? Come on. All right. Now, it's time to now minister it. Because God's Spirit works through us to minister. We are now going to minister it, which means we are going to make it available as it is. Remember I said that some things some people are looking for 10 years, this place will be closed. So that means the prayer to someone's the answer to someone's prayer is right there. Someone's healing is there, right where you are. Someone who needs help that didn't come for this meeting, but is represented by somebody beside you, the answer is here. Someone who probably just needs to be refreshed. You know, it's through you that God will do it. You will also receive, right? So that's how it works. As we are all aware, all our faculties are working together, right? Not that we are hearing, you can't see. We hear, we see, we speak, right? And we also sense. Is that for everybody? So now it's time to minister that faculty. Because you know, when you see something, you say it. When you say something, somebody hears it. When you sense something, you know, it also could affect someone around you. So that's what we're going to do now. Amen? So look at somebody beside you. And let's just minister what we have. You will minister it by speaking, even by touch. You minister it. Say, I minister. I minister the things of the Spirit at this time. You know, I purposely wanted you seated. There's no one way. Do you understand? We can be seated. We can stand up. But the Holy Ghost is here. Amen. So get someone, you know, and minister. I will tell you what to do. Minister what you have now to that person. It could be in utterances. It could be in revelation. It could be just by physical touch. Minister it. Minister it. Minister it. And you are going to minister like this week. You will minister like this week. Minister it. Make it available. Make sure you take turns. Now, let me pause. 1 second. Don't just give an utterance alone. There are things you can, minister that effect on you to the second person. Is that very clear? So go beyond just the utterance. Minister what you have. Go ahead. Minister it. You can minister fervency. You can minister depths. Minister it. Minister it. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're not done. We're not done. How many of you are sensing like someone just ministered to you a burden of prayer? Like a burden to pray. Who says like you've just caught something about like a prayer burden? Who? Alright? I guess that will spread a bit more. A prayer, you can catch that too. Amen. So you can also minister joy. No, I didn't say you should do it. You can minister joy. That is, there's a laughter in your spirit that you can transfer. You can minister a prayer burden. Amen. We can minister atmospheres. Atmospheres. Because there's also supernatural joy here. You know that? See, I take it.